Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is National Voter Registration Day. Are you registered to vote, Jane?
Of course I am.
Of course. I actually need to update my address, which I'm going to do today.
You best do that soon.
Because it is relevant and topical to update your address so you can vote for all the down ballot candidates that are appropriate and in your district that you live in. But to talk to us about all things voting is Executive Director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin, Deborah Cronmiller, is on the phone, or on Zoom, I should say. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on this wonderful day.
Is this your Super Bowl?
Well, it's one of them, I have to say. Election days are always the Super Bowl.
That's true.
This is a playoff game for sure.
So what is, for people who know that, like, I should register to vote, I should vote, blah, 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 blah. Like, what is the significance of having this as a recognized day nationally, of having National Voter Registration Day be a symbol, but also a day of action? And so, like, what does it mean literally and figuratively?
I think literally, you know, having a holiday set aside to make sure that we're drawing attention to the importance of not only registering to vote, but voting at the election in November. But the symbolism behind it is this is an opportunity for people across the nation to do the same thing on one day. We can all check our registrations today. If we're not registered, we can register today. Last year, 4.7 million people registered on National Registration Day, and I want to blow that out of the water this year. So we got to get everybody out to register, and then, of course, the more important part, make your plan to vote and vote.
Absolutely. So what plans does the league what is the short term? Is it LVW? No, LWV or the league? Or how do you guys refer to yourself when you're not going to say the League of Women Voters?
The league.
The league. So what plans does the league have today?
We have many plans. Here in Wisconsin, we have actions and activities happening around the state. We have 20 local affiliates in Wisconsin. All of them are standing up registration events, some at their, you know, at City Hall, some at libraries, some at nursing facilities. Just, you know, check your local league website to find out what's happening in your community. The state league is actually working in collaboration with a number of our voting rights partners, and we're sponsoring a big block party down in the Deer District in Milwaukee this afternoon, starting at 4 o'clock, and we really hope that folks will come out. We've got a DJ, we've got games and activities, and I think it'll be a great chance to, if you're not registered, we'll have the iPads right there. You can check your registration. We'll help you upload your information. We'll get you registered. But the reality is that this should be fun. This is a celebration of our participating in our democracy.
Absolutely. And so when we're talking about registering to vote, is it purely targeting people who have never registered, or is it also people like me who need to update their registration? Like, what is, because do we ever get close to, like, well, we got everyone? And so, like, has that ever happened?
No, I'm pretty confident that has never happened. I mean, there's always a pool of eligible voters who are not registered come election day. Now, Wisconsin is one of a handful of states that actually gives those voters even an opportunity, because on election day, an unregistered voter in Wisconsin can go to their polling place with their proof of residency, with a valid ID for voting, and register on that day and be issued a ballot that they can cast. And in the event that you go, you've got a valid ID, but you didn't bring your proof of residency, you didn't bring a piece of mail that has your address on it, or a fishing license, or something that is a valid proof, you have until Friday at 4 to rectify what you will be given, which is a provisional ballot, and that will allow you to spend those next couple of days getting to the clerk's office to make sure your ballot is counted.
Got it. And you know, Jay and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think. So nationally, there is headline after headline saying how women are outpacing men in registering this year. But in Wisconsin, we don't collect demographic data when people register. And so when we see claims that women are registering more than men, where are we getting those numbers from?
We actually do collect some demographic data.
Oh, okay. I thought the WEC doesn't.
Yeah. What we don't collect in Wisconsin is party affiliation. In some states, you have to affiliate with a party in order to be issued a ballot. So you're only issued partisan ballots. In Wisconsin, we have open elections. So when we went in August to vote, we were provided with very specific instructions on how to vote that ballot, because unlike in some states where a registered Democrat would only get a ballot for a Democrat, only the candidates in that party would be on that ballot, like same with a Libertarian or Republican, whatever. In Wisconsin, our ballot has all of the party information. It's up to the voter to keep it straight. So you can vote only those candidates in the portion of the ballot that are for your party. So if you're a Libertarian, you could only vote for the Libertarian candidates, or you spoil that ballot. And so it's a risk that Wisconsin takes, but we also believe that, you know, a voter should be given the option of, you know, if they're normally a Republican, but this particular election, they're really gravitating toward an independent candidate and they want to vote for that candidate, they can.
Absolutely. And so, if we are collecting demographic data, is that true in Wisconsin that we are seeing women outregister men?
I haven't checked in with the WEC lately on our information, but I have been watching nationally, and it is true that women are outpacing, probably very related to the Dobbs decision. You know, we've been spending a lot of time, 102 years as an organization, talking about our freedoms and our rights and protecting those and protecting our democracy. And, you know, I think for many women around the nation, the Dobbs decision was an assault on our freedoms. And they might take that anger or knowledge or whatever you want to call it into the polling, into the voting booth with them and make their voice heard.
Absolutely. We're talking to Executive Director Executive Director of the Wisconsin League of Women Voters, Deborah Kronmiller. Jeannie, do you have a question?
I did, Deb. I'm curious about reasons people give you for not having registered in the past. And I'm also assuming, because you are good people, better than me, that when they do show up at an event like today to register to vote, no one is going to scold them and say, where have you been the last 5 years?
I never scold. I only applaud. we have many different strategies for bringing people who are not voters into the voting pool, because our mission, of course, is to empower all voters and to make sure they have the information they need to cast that ballot. They understand who the candidates are. They can research those candidates. You know, we put out a very extensive voter guide called Vote 411 that you can get at vote411.org, and that is, you know, kind of our commitment to voters across the state, across the nation, actually, to ensure that you're empowered to do this job of participating in our democracy by voting. It's the fundamental right of all the rights. This is the biggie. What we know and what we try to do is partner very deeply with organizations that reach out to young voters. If you vote in your first election after you turn 18, you are far more likely to be a lifetime voter than those who do not. So that's why we want people to start voting. Vote in every election. Vote as early as you can possibly vote after you turn 18, and keep doing it until you die. That's how our democracy works. And when all the voices are heard, we actually have the best democracy we can have. When too many people sit out on the sidelines, my vote doesn't matter. Oh, that candidate's a shoo-in. There was nobody running against him. I don't have to go out and vote for them. It's like, no, you still have to vote for them. And I think the more people will come out to vote, the more enthusiasm we will get for more candidates running, for more contested races, for more enthusiasm about more people to get involved with the process. It builds on itself. And that's probably the best reason, I think, to go out and vote, is you might motivate somebody else to do it.
Well, and I think that's certainly true. I feel like even since moving back to Wisconsin, I'll fully admit that I was not always great because I felt so transient. I mean, you know, as a young person in their 20s who's moving from city to city, being involved in knowing who you're voting for in the state legislature, knowing who you're voting for local government. And it was only in setting roots that I started to really feel responsible for those elections as well. Because obviously this year, in 2020, we had record turnout as far as voting in Wisconsin. And I think there's a chance if something feels different that in this midterm election that we might have really good turnout too. But how much of that is because of these high profile, like the Dobbs case? And how much of it is you think that there's more of a turning of people, and especially younger people, understanding that you need to vote in every election, not just presidential ones?
I don't know if there's any one single answer to that question, Kristen. I think people vote for a whole bunch of reasons. Sometimes it's because, you know, the local candidate on that ballot is their neighbor and they feel compelled to get out and vote for or against that person. Sometimes a national profile race is what's motivating them. Sometimes people are just frustrated. I know we worked very long and hard the last couple of years as an organization to try to enact legislation to make sure that we have fairly drawn, transparently created maps for our districts in Wisconsin. Well, we didn't get that legislation passed, but we motivated a lot of people because they understood that how the maps are drawn in Wisconsin does influence whether or not the elected official in the chair is going to listen to them. And when they feel so safe that they don't have to listen to their own constituents, that's a big problem. And I think by talking about it, by elevating that problem, by talking about what really matters, the maps matter, of course, that was huge. But what really matters is we're not getting healthcare expansion in Wisconsin. We're not getting education funding in Wisconsin. We're not getting medical marijuana in Wisconsin. We're not getting things that 70%+ of Wisconsinites want. And that's because of the problems behind our district maps.
Absolutely. And I want to talk more about fair maps when we come back, because that's where you and I first met. But our guest this half hour is Deborah Kronmiller, who is the executive director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is the executive director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. I don't know why that's such a mouthful. Deborah Kronmiller. So before we cut to the break, you were mentioning that for the last 10-ish years, many groups, including League of Women Voters, were working really hard to try to ensure that we would get fair maps after the 2020 census happened, and using that information to do the redistricting maps. We did not get that. That's actually where you and I first met, was at a Fair Maps rally in at the Capitol, May 2021, when things were starting to lighten up as far as stay-at-home orders and everything. But we did not get those maps. And for people who do work like the League of Women Voters or any of the other voting organizations, of which there are many in Wisconsin, that's an L. That's definitely an L. But you can't give up hope, and you can't keep fighting. You have to keep fighting for democracy. And so knowing that that was the hand that was dealt, what should people look for? Is like, what is the next step as far as still trying to ensure that we have accountable government despite these maps being not very competitive?
Right. We were disappointed that the map.
I was disappointed.
Yeah. We can frame it as a loss and just, you know, sit in our pity pot, or we can look at what happened as a result of our efforts as very positive for Wisconsin. There's hardly a voter in Wisconsin who 10 years ago knew the word gerrymander and who now doesn't. You know, we created a a wave of education around why the maps are critically important. And maybe we didn't position ourselves fast enough or well enough to get that law enacted in this last session. That doesn't mean we can't keep working to get it enacted before the next census. We also have mobilized hundreds, literally hundreds of activists around the state to really be engaged with protecting and promoting our democracy. And though they were targeting their efforts for the last couple of years on passing legislation that would give us fair, transparently drawn maps, we know they have other assets, like they're great activists and they understand democracy and they understand weaknesses in our democracy and they want to fill the holes. And one of the holes we have right now, and we saw it as a result of what happened with the redistricting efforts, is where did those redistricting decisions end up? They ended up in the courts in Wisconsin. And what do we know about our courts, not only here in Wisconsin, but around the nation? Not all our courts are as impartial and accountable as they should be. You know, how many articles have we read in the last year about our, in here in Wisconsin, our conservative justices? How many articles have we read about other courts across the nation, conservative, liberal? It's like the ideology of our judges has never been a thing in the United States. The third branch of government is our impartial third branch of government, the check and balance on the partisan branches of government, the legislative branch and the executive branch, that were set up to be partisan. It's that third branch of government that needs to be held to a very high accountability standard. And that's, I think, where we need to take these activists, their energy now, and ensure that we are getting courts that represent the communities that they are practicing in. We need the judges to look like the people that are standing in front of them. We need shared lived experiences that right now, too many of Wisconsin's judges are lily white in a state that is not 100% lily white. We need representative justice. We need accountable justice. And we need to stop talking about the partisan courts, because they shouldn't be in the first place. We need to hold them accountable to not be partisan. And I really see this is the next wave of advocacy. And I'm going to keep the pedal to the metal on getting fair maps. Don't you question that. But we can do two things at one time. You know, chew gum, walk, talk. We can do it. And this organization and our partner organizations in the voting rights space are primed for these discussions. You know, we have friends in the voting rights space who for years have been trying to draw some lines between why is it that we have become so hyper-partisan. And truth be told, it comes down to money. There's a lot of money in politics that, you know, decisions made at the Supreme Court, Citizens United, opened the floodgates for a lot of partisan money to come into all races, not just judicial races, but more money into other races. And it's having a negative influence. And we need to talk about that. And we need to make sure that, you know, we don't buy a partisan judge, but rather we choose, elect judges that we know to be impartial and good, good judges.
Well, in the couple minutes that we have left, I'd love, what information should we get to the people as far as registering today or registering before the end of, before the election, and also information on voting in November?
Well, today, across the state, go to a League of Women Voters website and find out an event near you and go and attend it. That would be my best advice to you. Our event is in the Deer District, starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. That's in Milwaukee. The address there is 1134 Bell R. Phillips Avenue, Milwaukee, right outside the Pfizer Forum. The other thing I think that we really want to make sure people are aware of is that anytime between now and the election, you can check your registration, you can register, you can find your polling place. If you go to myvote.gov, www.wi.gov. You will be able to get all of the information about how and where to successfully cast your ballot in November.
Excellent. All right. Well, we will put all that information on our website for today's episode blog. But Deborah Cronmiller, thank you so much for joining us today. Come back anytime.
Well, thank you, Kristen. I look forward to it.
Deborah Cronmiller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Stick with us. We're going to talk Packers when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Have a pretty piece of crystal. Don't need your silicone. I prefer.